Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
As promised, caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats. You're winning two tickets to My Chemical Romance. It's the Black Parade 2026. The show's going to be in August, the 18th of August at Nats Park. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation. Back live on Grant and Danny, brought to you by the law firm Kondorian Murad.
They're quite simply the best. Let them help you. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Let's kick off the Beltway Blitz. Anthony Bevilier of the Capitals on the Blitz in just a couple of minutes, but we start with some insight on the team ahead of their opener. Katie Florio, Caps Radio Network. Katie, is everybody healthy? What did we learn at practice today? How are things trending for tomorrow's opener with the Bruins?
Yeah, well, first off, great talking to you again. Thanks for having me on today. Looking forward to another great season of hockey. But yes, I would say the vibes are definitely high. Of course, it's funny to talk about injuries and health. Everything was looking great up until the second intermission of the final preseason game when Dylan McIlrath and Matt Roy both left the game. McIlrath was, as you probably know, placed on the IR yesterday. He skated ahead of everyone else today in a blue non-contact jersey, working with just the skills and things like that. But then Matt Roy was back with the regular practice. Something going on, a curse maybe with the defenseman, because yesterday Declan Chisholm ended up getting a skate cut during practice. And in his right thigh, he had to get 8 stitches. But both players and Spencer Carberry saying today that Roy and Chisholm are good to go. McIlrath is the only one still kind of working back from that lower body injury, but the other two should be absolutely fine for tomorrow night.
Any roster decisions that were of note? Some of the younger guys got sent down, et cetera, Katie? Just a couple things that stood out to you.
Well, I think the biggest storyline through all of this camp was just how many young guys impressed. And so when you send guys like Ilya Protas and Andrew Kristol and Ivan Marochnichenko getting loaned again yesterday, when those are the guys that you're sending down because you have to, because there's no roster space, then I think that's a good problem to have. It just goes to show the depth and versatility of this team. There's obviously been, you know, lots of talk at Connor McMichael at wing, Hendrix Lapierre making this roster, probably starting at 3C. And so this is all good stuff to have those guys more than willing, you know, to play wherever they need to. And so Spencer Carberry has some decisions to make. He can place guys where needed. Justin Sorduff, a new one coming to this team, I believe he'll start on the fourth line, but he's another guy that can certainly be moved around and you can, you know, make puzzle pieces work.
How much better is Hendrix Lapierre now than a year ago when he made the team and got sent down and really struggled? That third line is kind of what my eyes are on. We've seen enough out of the guys up top, Ovi, Stroman, Protas. We know the second line was great last year, McMichael, Dubois, Wilson. The third line was in flux all season, and it's Leonard who's got to be better. It's Lapierre, same story. And Bevilier is coming on with us in a few, who was excellent in the playoffs. What do you think about that trio?
I think no question, and the coach would be the first to tell you that, yeah, that third line was the missing puzzle piece last year. There was just, they tried so many things, and it could never get fully going with consistency, and I am confident that that line is going to be so much better this year, whether it stays Leno, Lapierre, Beauvillier, whatever it might be. You have Ryan Leonard who, and it's not an excuse, but he comes in and has a whirlwind of a final 2 months. You know, you're going from playing in college one day to playing with Alex Ovechkin the next. You're in the middle of the Ovi chase. You're in the middle of NHL playoffs. I mean, that's a lot for someone that was, you know, just with his teammates at BC, and Hendrix LaPierre as well. He'd be the first to tell you he had a bad camp last year. He knew right away that, you know, he didn't live up to expectations and he didn't do enough to stay on this roster. Whereas coming into this year, I had a great chat with him for TV on Monumental Sports yesterday, and he is laser focused. And Carberry has said so many times, even his mannerisms are different. Not that he didn't ever take it seriously in the past, but you know that he knew his time was kind of ticking and it was sort of now or never. And so it wasn't just the games where he impressed, leading preseason in points, but it was every single practice, really good at winning faceoffs as well. And then you have Beauvillier, who Carbs has kind of already said can be that veteran presence, whether if he's on that line with Leonard and LaPierre, two younger guys that are maybe still learning their way. Of course, LaPierre has played in several NHL games in past seasons as well. But Leonard, same thing, to see the confidence he had in preseason. We even see it with the media, the way he sort of talks to us now. You can tell that just getting that time last year, but now coming into a training camp and coming into a season from day one, he feels so much more settled and so much more confident. And so, like I said, I am fully confident that this third line will be able to not just produce, but will able to be consistent in a way that it wasn't able to last year.
Katie, good to catch up. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, great as always, Katie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Hit that NFL sounder, please. Our guy, Nate Davis, at by Nate Davis on the Twitterverse USA Today. Is Kansas City in trouble, Nate?
I'm not quite ready to go there, Danny. I mean, nobody's running away with AFC, particularly after last weekend. They're still going to get Rashee Rice back. And I mean, they're the Chiefs. I realize 2-3 is suboptimal, but I'm still not in panic mode with them.
Jaguars 4-1, quality win last night. How legit are they?
Well, I mean, they're pretty good wins. I mean, beat the Texans, beating the 49ers, and then the Chiefs. I think you have to be impressed with them. I mean, Liam Cohen's going to be a Coach of the Year candidate. Devin Lloyd's playing like a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. And it looks like, you know, they're kind of harnessing Trevor Lawrence as the franchise quarterback we all expected him to be. And, you know, even signs of a Travis Hunter breakout last night. So, who would have thought the AFC South is going to be an interesting division? But the Colts and the Jags at 4-1 are shaping up as a pretty interesting tandem there.
Yeah, so you look out west, a couple, you know, competitive divisions, NFC West, AFC West, et cetera. A lot of surprises, at least from my view. Handicap both of those divisions for me is where it stands right now through 5 weeks.
You said AFC West and NFC West?
AFC West, NFC West, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I like the Broncos to win the division prior to the season, and I it was a little bit of an uneven start for them, but, I mean, for my money, that's the best defense in the league. I picked them to win in Philadelphia, and they did. I think if Bo Nix can kind of at least get back to what they were last season, there have been signs of that. I think that they might have the inside track there to win the division. I still think Kansas City is probably going to find a way into the playoffs. I'm worried about the Chargers, a team that's built to be physical and not missing its top two running backs and its top two offensive tackles. I think they could be in a little bit of trouble kind of settling at 500. We'll see where that goes. To me, the NFC West is and has been for months, kind of the most fascinating one. It looks like the Cardinals are kind of playing themselves out of it, but the other three teams, I think put them in a hat and pick one out. I think the one that kind of intrigues me the most is Seattle, and maybe just because it's the most unknown of those commodities. But I mean, guys, they were a tiebreaker short of winning the division last year, finished eighth in the conference, and still went ahead and really kind of, I don't want to say did an overhaul, but I mean major changes on offense. And the Mike McDonald, who we know from Baltimore, kind of I think has that defense, the personnel more in line with how he wants to play defense. And didn't show up against Tampa, but I mean, otherwise, that looks like a balanced physical team, and I'm curious to see how far they can go, and maybe even that Bucks Seahawks game, for all we know, could have been an NFC Championship preview. I mean, let's hope so, given the quality of the game Sunday.
Nate Davis, USA Today. Nate, is there a path to Mike McDaniel keeping his job in Miami?
Wow, Grant, I think the path is that. Is that Tua's contract really ties into that team through next season before they can really kind of get out of it in a way that's not going to totally destroy their salary cap. So, I mean, to me, the one thing there is if you fire Mike McDaniel, I think you're going to have trouble bringing in another coach and convincing him that 2026 isn't really unless you're going to find a coach that believes in Tua the way Mike McDaniel does, like he's basically tied to that quarterback for next season. I would think a new coach would probably want his own guy and want to remake that roster and that kind of thing. So I think Mike McDaniel's best path is that, you know, I think you might have a hard time recruiting a top level guy, and you're probably also talking about a GM change, given you can't really probably remake that roster in a meaningful way for another year after this one.
Philadelphia is still obviously very good. They dropped the game this weekend to Denver. It's one of these things where I always go kind of, yeah, but, right? They're 4-1. They deserve to be. They're really good. Barkley hasn't really gotten going. It's mouths to feed in the passing game. The operation doesn't look so right there on offense. Again, they're 4-1 and in great shape in the NFC and in the NFC East. But are there cracks in the armor there at all to you? Or is it just they're playing with their food knowing that their aspirations are higher? They'll be good come playoff time.
Can I say yes? I think you're making valid points on both sides of the coin, Danny. I mean, they took off last year kind of in mid-October. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of where we are now. I mean, last year was a 2-2 start, so 4-1 start obviously is better. To me, the thing that's kind of concerning is just the offensive line. You know, Lane Johnson's banged up. Landon Dickerson's banged up. Mekhi Becton not there. Like you said, Danny, I mean, either they can't run the ball or they won't run it. And, you know, I don't think anyone expected Saquon to run for 2,000 again, but I don't think anyone expected, you know, 50 yards a game and 3 yards a carry either. So, but I don't think there's real reason for panic given the personnel they have there. And, you know, I also wouldn't be surprised, you know, if there's a card up Howie Roseman's sleeve now that we've kind of reached the month where the trades start going down. So, I'm not concerned with them yet. Certainly based on the record.
Nate Davis, USA Today, with us on Grant and Danny. Thursday Night Football, a couple days out. NFC East tilt. We got the 4-1 Eagles, the 1-4 Giants. Jackson Dart looks like he can play a little bit. It's not perfect. He turned the ball over a bunch this past week in a loss to the Saints. But there's some, like, early career Josh Allen stuff in there. What have you thought of Dart so far?
I didn't get to see a whole lot of the Saints game, but yeah, saw the turnovers. I mean, you saw the ability in preseason. I mean, I realize you got to take preseason football for what it is, but like you said, you can see the physical traits. And you know, the Giants are interesting, and then I think they've amassed a lot of good young players. You know, it's unfortunate what happened to Malik Nabers, but I mean, I think this is a team I'd want to coach a year from now. And I'm certainly, you know, I'm sure Brian Daboll does too. And it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out because, you know, I think they could be a really a team that's going to come in 2026, given all the young talent. And it's really that Jackson Dart is at the head of the list here, there. And another team where the blocking concerns me a little bit, but you know, he can get out and make plays on the move, which, you know, Russell Wilson's kind of past that stage in his career. So, I think I had the Giants pegged at 2 wins before the season. I'm still not sure they're going to get much past that, just given the overall quality of their schedule. But I think they are also going to be a lot more entertaining than maybe I thought they were going to be 3 or 4 months ago.
Nate, appreciate you as always, buddy.
Thank you, fellas.
Yeah, man, see you soon. Hit that Capitol sounder, please, Darius.
The Caps start a new season tomorrow night at Capital One Arena against the Boston Bruins. Anthony Bevilier joins us now on Grant and Danny to help preview a brand new campaign. Anthony, the work is done. The hay's in the barn. Let's play hockey tomorrow night in front of a
packed home crowd.
Let's get this thing going. What do you make of the roster that the Caps have put together and what you guys have going into the season?
Yeah, I think everyone's excited. Everyone's looking forward to this season. I think our potential is very exciting, and obviously it was a tough camp, hard practices, some tough games, but I think everyone's just excited to get going here and actually play real hockey.
What do you want to be the same from last year, and what do you and your mates want to be different from last year?
Well, I think everyone wants to improve, right? I think everyone wants to show that we're actually a really good team, and last year was not only a fluke, but that we can compete for some of the top teams in the league. And obviously we want to be better than last year, I think, right? We want to get further than round two in the playoffs, and at the end of the day, we're all competing for a Stanley Cup here.
Anthony Bevilier on Grant and Danny here on The Fan, your flagship home for Caps hockey all season long. Anthony, you came in season last year as an addition. You ended up being a really nice acquisition at the deadline. But I'm curious, you know, a lot of us on the outside didn't think the Caps would be a buzzsaw at the beginning of last year. I know internally they had high expectations. You were on another team, though, with another org. What did you think of the Caps when the season began? Did you guys think they were going to be a fixture at the top of the conference? And then when you got here, what did you learn about how this team pulled it off?
Yeah, well, I think if you're looking back on the team that they put together last season, I think a lot of new guys came in. But, yeah, I think the expectations were very low from the outside. But if you look at the pieces that they've added since last year, I think obviously very game changers people. If you think of, Dubois, Logan Thompson, and, you know, Matt Roy, and obviously missing a few here. But, those are impactful players. And you could tell right from the start of the season that they had some good years, and it seemed to fit perfectly with the team. And you think like a guy like Chychrun that they acquired last season as well, ended up signing a long-term contract here. And I don't know, it's just such an easy group to come into and fit into, and everyone's trying to set each other up for success. So it's been such a fun group to be a part of.
How do you see your role this year?
Well, I think I just want to bring my best. Like I want to be really good in the forecheck. I want to use my speed, which is something that day in and day out are going to make me good. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing. I want to bring a lot of speed and lots of energy, and be able to contribute offensively and be responsible defensively. I think that's going to be that's really my main focus.
It's such a big postseason. I think that more than anything else gets you, you know, kind of indoctrinated into this fan base's minds, and people wanted you re-sign. Was it an easy decision for you to stay in D.C. and put pen to paper?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was priority number one for me. It was to stay here. I really liked my time ever since I got here. Obviously, love the city. The fans are very passionate, and I've been loving living here in D.C. And obviously, like I said, the group is something special that we have, and the potential that we have is also really exciting.
Give us a sneaky player to keep an eye on that you think could have a bigger year than people might be expecting.
I would say Connor McMichael. I think we haven't seen his best yet. I think he's very good. He's very smart on the ice. He does all the things right. He's got a lot of speed, and he can shoot the puck, and he's got a very high hockey IQ as well. So I think the best is yet to come for him.
Anthony, you've been around for a little bit now in the NHL for several seasons, to your credit. This, you mentioned this group's easy to kind of fold into. It's mostly a veteran core that's been around. It's competed at a high level, et cetera. But there are also some younger players that are coming in here. Like last year, Protas was so dynamic and so awesome, really made a huge leap. What sort of advice or assistance do you provide to kind of some of those young guys that are trying to fold into this culture on the fly?
Well, honestly, like, I don't think there's a lot to say. Like, with just, you got to give credit to, you know, the older guys, the core that's been here for such a long time. If you think about Ovechkin, Carlson, Wilson, these guys have kept such a good culture and such a fun culture to be a part of. And, you know, guys, we have good people coming in, like young guys just kind of fit in so seamlessly, and it is just like easy for everyone to kind of be together and have fun. I think we work really hard, but at the same time we have a lot of fun. There's a lot of laughs, a lot of excitement in the room. Everyone loves each other and loves to be around each other. So I think there's not a whole lot to say or advice to give, honestly, about the team or whatsoever. Just the culture that we have is really special, and credits to really all the guys that have been and this team for over the years, but especially the core that's staying here.
Caps winger speedster Anthony Bevilier with us here on Grant and Danny. So game day tomorrow to kick off the season. Last thing, do you have any game day superstitions? What are you going to be doing to get ready for the game?
those are I forgot some of my superstitions, I guess, but we'll see how it folds out tomorrow. But It's going to be some muscle memory for the first game for sure. But I have a few. I would call them more of a routine than superstitions, but they'll be coming back out tomorrow.
Love it. Anthony, good luck tomorrow night, man. Have a great season. Appreciate you, bud.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Caps winger Anthony Bevilier is part of our Beltway Blitz. The season gets started tomorrow. Remember, we will be out at City Tap House in D.C. ahead of the game, just a couple of blocks from the arena, easily walkable. So come have your cocktails at happy hour or your dinner ahead of the game with us, and then go over to the opener against the Bruins. Next on Grant and Danny, it sounds like Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown are tracking toward possible Monday night returns to help against the Bears. When they come back, just how legit might this offense be? Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny. Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt comes your way in about 35 minutes.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Yeah, we're optimistic, JP, and we'll have more information as the week goes on to see where they're at with he and Noah and Sam Cosmi and a few other guys that are, you know, kind of trending in the right way. We'll make sure we take all the right steps, just like we do with all the guys. If they're able to, you know, fully express how they play and do their thing, then we're there. And if not, we'll have to keep waiting. But we won't decide yet. But with having an extra day, that never hurts, JP, going into it. But as we get, you know, a few more days from now, I think I'll have a better sense for if it's able to be done and what it looks like and how they're responding to it.
Dan Quinn on Terry McLaurin, Noah Brown possibly being back for the Bears game. We welcome you back to Grant and Danny. 30 minutes from now, it's bill time. We will pay the bill. Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, 5 o'clock every Tuesday, right here on The Fan. That is coming up in 30 on Grant and Danny. What a game this is shaping up to be on Monday as we run back last year's miracle in Landover with the Noah Brown Hail Mary. He might be back just in time for them to show that highlight 30 times before and after the game.
Seriously, run that play to start the game. What kind of message would that send?
The Hail Mary?
Yeah.
How many times are we going to see that highlight, do you think, on Sunday? Countdown shows. I mean, and by the way, give me the over.
Sure.
I'd love to see it as many times as possible. But you know they're going to air it during the broadcast on Monday Night Football. Buck and Aikman will show it at least once. I guess the question is, will they play it more than once? Is there a way you could play it early and late? Maybe at the end of the half, if Daniels has a chance to throw a Hail Mary from midfield or something.
During a timeout or something like that. Yep.
1.5 should be what we set it at. But Ben Johnson and the Bears are coming to town. If you weren't listening to the show yesterday, the stakes have been raised.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert.
Josh, I believe in Upper Marlboro, yep, had this idea. He called in and he said, let's have a bet that if the Bears don't have a day offensively, I can't talk about Ben Johnson anymore on the show, my beloved play caller and offensive mind from Chicago. And he went even further and said, I can't play the Ben Johnson alert sounder on the Grant and Danny radio program for the remainder of this football season. And so through the end of the regular season, we've decided, until the start of the playoffs, if Ben Johnson's Bears don't amass 350 yards, the over, 349 and a hook, I can't say his name. I have to refer to him as the coach in Chicago or he whom shall not be named. And I can't play the Ben Johnson alert sounder with every great trick play and every big performance as he helps develop Caleb Williams as one of the great offensive minds in league history.
Ben Johnson alert.
This is tough. Now, I will say, as I've thought about, I did a lot of digging last night on yards per game. 349 and a half is a lot. It just doesn't happen as much as you think anymore. You're talking about what would be the number nine offense in the NFL or so this football season. And there's a lot of reasons for that. So on a technicality, you guys are probably going to have a chance to win this thing, barring the Bears just coming out of a bye and just dancing all over Joe Witt Jr. in Washington. But because of short fields after kickoff returns, because of kickers now being able to boot 50 and 60-yard field goals, so teams are actually going for a few of these fourth and three, fourth and fours less in no man's land. Because of the nature of the game now, if you look at it, actually yards per game are trending down. Yards per play has always been the better metric.
Because there's just fewer yards available to you with starting field position.
Which is why I wanted to do yards per play. You guys wouldn't see eye to eye with me on that. So for the fun of the exercise, I will take the bet. But yards per play actually tells you the effectiveness of the offense. Yards per game is kind of a game script thing that doesn't really... They could have 279 yards going into the fourth quarter.
And run roughshod.
And have had a field day on Washington.
Yeah. I mean, so 12 teams in the NFL right now are averaging more than 350 yards per game. Washington is 13th at 349. A bunch of teams are in the upper 340s. So against a defense that has, what's a common way to put it, struggled to stop the pass, might be a decent day for them to get over. So I think it's a... There's a push and pull there. You're right. Yards per game are down.
Yeah, 350 is what used to be 400.
Yes.
You know, basically like 5 years ago, 8 years ago, what is 350 now was like 395 back then. There's just fewer yards in games because there's so many on special teams. And there's other ways where they're coming and kicking, punting. Things have just changed so much. But I've got confidence in Ben Johnson and the Bears. They're going to have a great day. Is it going to suffice the technicality? Is it going to win this stupid bet? I don't know, but I know that he's going to draw it up. I know that his quarterback is going to do a fake flea flicker or fake fall down or some point. So here's what we're looking for. A Commanders win with Ben Johnson dialing up some trick plays. I want aesthetic offense. Give me a 44-34 ball game with the Commanders winning on Monday Night Football. That's what we're all looking for, I think.
So even though, like you said, 349 and the hook seems kind of unrealistic based off of how statistics are now.
You'd be a top 10 offense if you did that now.
The Commanders' defense allows 352 yards per game right now. Total defense.
That's with a couple terrible opponents in there.
It's a good nugget.
So it kind of evens it out a little bit, I would think. You know, there's a chance.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not like they're going against Green Bay or Houston or someone with one of those good defenses. It's Washington. Right, they'll throw it just fine.
You would think that that's going to help,
yeah,
for sure.
You're going to be able to say his name all your little heart desires.
Oh, and I will.
You'll be just fine.
Don't you worry. Now, the Commanders should win the football game. I need them to win. They're the team we care about. But I would like to see Ben Johnson have a day. Just dial it up. Just so but you know why? It's because
What will it do for you if he does?
Nothing, really. I mean, you hate him for no reason.
I got a decent reason.
Toby hates him for no reason. I think you should both grow up a little bit and move on.
I'm very grown up. I'll root against him forever.
Now,
that's pretty easy.
Clary hates him because he was mean to Jared Goff.
He abandoned Jared
one time. Literally, that's why Clary hates him. Darius, I don't think, has any feelings either way toward him.
But yeah, I don't really have
think
much
about
for him.
Danny doesn't like him because he was mean to Washington that time. That's why he doesn't like him. Because he called them on the plane when they were coming to get him, and he's like, screw this guy forever.
Yeah, mean isn't the right word. It's classless and pathetic. He doesn't act like a leader is supposed to act. He let out a bunch of basketball guys. Well, not for me. glad you got a chance to have an earlier offseason than we did when we whooped your ass in Detroit. But the classlessness, it's very Josh McDaniels-y, saying, I don't like Josh McDaniels because he took a different job. I mean, when you oversimplify it like that, it sounds like it's way worse. You can't do that to people, right? They're interested in you. That is it's what a child does. That's not a mature adult type behavior. So yeah, I put him in a category where understood. I know exactly who you are. Great offensive mind. Maybe the best in the sport right now.
But to hate him forever?
Oh yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's pretty easy. Who did he do it to? He did it to us. So yeah, I've got you categorized.
21 points in the first half, 31 in the game, made a couple of trick calls that backfired on him for sure. And got Jared Goffed, where Goff was throwing the ball to the wrong team constantly. And
you got Goffed.
Fumbled for some reason with nobody around him, if you remember.
That's that the Goff special, isn't it?
Play. Like, he got Jared Goff big time. But that was still, they didn't lose that game because of Ben Johnson.
No, not at all.
If you want to bash Ben Johnson, you go for it. But you're lying to yourself if you think that the 31-point, 521-yard performance by the Lions in the playoffs last year. Yeah, let's talk trash to Ben Johnson. Pack your bags. 521 yards they had in that game, and his quarterback couldn't start throwing up on himself long enough for them to win the football game.
Well, my favorite play was when Jared Goff threw the second interception, Mikey Sanders. Wait, that was Jameson Williams, right?
It was.
Mmm.
Jameson Williams.
Great trick play, Ben.
Hang your hat on that one. 521 yards on your ass. All day long, up and down the field, dragging your ass up and down the field.
This is not our ass. This is your ass. You're a Commanders fan, GP.
I am.
You're not
this
a Ben
true.
You're it's ours. It's ours. Jared okay. Goff is mine, but
I don't
you
can say
have the
we
rest.
Are, but sure.
That's fine.
I'm a fan of the team. It's the team I was rooting for. Gave up 521 yards. And thank God that your Lord and Savior, Jared Goff, had the worst game that anyone could have possibly ever had.
Read those numbers again. Real quick. How many yards was it? How many touchdowns? How many points?
521 yards right. And 31 points.
That's a lot of points.
A lot of turnovers, too. Pretty schemed up points and yards, for sure. Let's go to Joshua in Upper Marlboro. Hello, Joshua.
Oh, hello,
how
Josh.
Are you?
I cannot believe what's happening here. Danny, do you hear this? He is lowering the bar and lowering expectations.
I know, he's
sandbagging. For his beloved.
Yeah.
Yesterday 350 was too low, and all of a sudden
I never
now
said
it's
it was
like
too low.
So high.
They said it was too low.
Everybody said it was too low, and now all of a sudden, listen, this is supposed to be the love child of Doogie Howser and Albert Einstein, Grant. If he cannot exceed the ninth team in the league and get over 350 yards, then what are we even talking about?
Well, he's in his infancy with a bad offense and a nubby quarterback.
He's in his infancy.
Yes.
Would that have been okay if he was still in his infancy performing like this for Washington, if he was here
sure.
with a 1-4 start?
You think I would be bashing Ben Johnson if he was here?
Josh, I
no
think the,
chance.
The biggest reason, it's not just that he was
thank you, Josh.
Classless and a just a little twerp dealing with Washington. It's how much Grant loves him. That's really what this is. So like a lot of times, my hatred for the Cowboys and Eagles, yes, I find those teams loathsome and so irritating. It's the fans. That's what this has turned into. That's what this is. This is your Dallas Cowboy fandom type moment. That's what this is. That's what it's turned into for me.
Ben Johnson alert.
And now you're cutting me off with the
ben
alert?
Ben Johnson alert.
That's what's happening?
You earned it. You referenced the Cowboys for some reason. I don't know what that was about.
Well, it's your fandom. It's like no coach has ever had a post-game speech, and you're like, look! Like holding the phone,
again.
Showing me. Like, look at this post-game speech.
Not
isn't it great? It's a post-game speech.
Ben Johnson
like
alert.
Ben
Johnson alert.
Doing a Clary Goff bit, like have a cup of Ben with me.
You want some Goff?
Come to the kitchen. Let's have some Johnson together. That sounds weird. Let's have some Ben together.
I'm going to say no to that one.
Yes, please do. But you know how he does his bit.
I know I do. Yeah, a cup of Goffy.
Here's a cup of Goffy. Oh, my Goffy. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
I acknowledge correctly, as a man who appreciates good offense, mm-hmm. that he dials it up. There's a lot on the line here.
There is a lot on the line.
Because I want you all to know. It's not going to happen on Tuesday. If the Bears end up having a great offensive day, we're going to chop up Washington. We're going to get to the bottom of things. We're going to fix some problems. These are our guys. We got to figure out what we need to figure out.
But you'll be smiling the whole time,
won't
you?
But on Tuesday, I'm coming for all your asses. Just so you know, it's happening. The amount of Ben Johnson talk will be bountiful. It will be painful, and it will not be over quickly. Okay, there will be a lot of Ben Johnson sounders, so you better hold him under 350.
So buckle
you
up.
Better do it or buckle the hell up, because Ben Johnson will be coming for that ass. I will have Ben Johnson on the show on Wednesday just to cut a promo, okay? And I want him to call out Danny, especially Toby. I mean, Toby should appreciate good offense. The guy punted in college, for Christ's sake. And Ryan hates him because he didn't say hi to Jared Goff
He left Goff at the altar.
Now, I will acknowledge, I think he has come off like an absolute child at times, mm-hmm. and like a poor sport loser. I think he is definitely, he's got like tendencies about his makeup and personality that is not for me at all. But he can call some offense. Joe Witt, a lot on the line here, buddy.
A lot on the line. A lot on the line, Mr. Witt.
How about this? I'll have to do a Joe Witt alert for the rest of the season.
Oh, my God.
Let's do that.
The way that we live is not for everybody.
Ah, the way Ben calls plays is not for
520 yards, sir. Can we clean that up a little bit?
It's not, all right? Because we're going to run and put our bodies on people.
521 against this defense last time out.
Yeah.
Now, different players.
Yeah.
He doesn't have Jared Goff. He doesn't have Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Look out for 15. That's Odunze. He's been open a lot. Cover him.
349 and a half. In a loss. That's what we're looking
at.
That's
loss.
My parlay. Commanders money line, Bears over 350. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, who leads the NFL in yards per attempt, also number one in the National Football League in rushing yards over expected per carry and rushing success rate. He's the best running back in the league with the ball in his hand. He is on the show coming up at 5 and 10 minutes on Grant and Danny. Will is in Alexandria, wants to hop in on the Fan. What's up, Will? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call of the show. My take is that I see Ben Johnson on the Mike McDaniels career trajectory. Hot shot offensive coordinator, even might look amazing, you know, might have a great offense early as a head coach, but in time will be found out, and they have a similar ability to bristle with media. That's my thought. Thank you.
So it's interesting. I mean, McDaniel obviously hasn't necessarily had media problems in the sense of butting heads with media, because he's very, very nice and approachable and all those things.
It's just quirky, and it's a little bit less fun when they're getting their butts kicked.
And he's not well-spoken. Like, right. He's stumbling and falling all over his words, and he's not great in the media. I agree with that. Ben Johnson's, like, legitimately surly. I mean, he's downright annoying, essentially, to deal with if you're a media member, national, local, whatever. I think he'll grow in that role a little bit, I hope, but there's no real reason to have an animus or to bring negative attention on yourself. I will say there's just little things like I joke about Ryan being mad that he was mean to Jared Goff that time, but I told Ryan, I texted him, I'm like, that was ridiculous. After the Bears-Lions game this year, that should be, the game's over now, okay? You just got beat pretty handily. That should be a great opportunity to go give all your guys a hug, like every other coordinator that's gotten a head coaching job has ever done. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery.
Yeah, huge reason why you got the gig.
Jared Goff helped get you this head coaching job. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He basically acted like he'd never met him before as they shook hands, and he gave him the coldest embrace ever and kept it moving. Let's go to Sal in Warrington on Grant and Danny. What's up, Sal?
Hey, Grant. Hey, Danny. I love you guys. Danny, you're just a funny dude, and you have a big heart. But I think you need an intervention here. And I'm telling you, you got to let Ben Johnson go. Just let him go. I'm a Bucks fan, and you know we had Liam Cohen. He was going to be our coach. You know, he's leading the Bucks to the promised land, and he ended up leaving us. But I forgive him. I see that, you know, he's gotten a head coaching job. He's down in Jacksonville. He's beating the Chiefs, which, you know, warms my heart to no end. So just let it go.
Yeah, let's let it go, Danny.
So this is very different than...
harbor ill will.
No, the analogy there would be like me being angry at Sean McVay for getting promoted, like taking another job somewhere else, you know, like after he left
not
here.
Not quite, because if you remember the story, Liam Cohen screwed the Bucks over really badly.
Well,
that's
true, actually, yeah.
So it wasn't just that he left.
No, that's true.
He lied to them, told them he wasn't taking the job. Then they found out he was in Jacksonville, and they're like, wait, what? You just told us... Literally, you just took the job. You said
you're still
ROC.
Yeah, so like if I was a Colts fan, I would hate Josh McDaniel forever, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, to me, it's very simple. All you have to do is like the normal course of professionalism, and I have no problem. And then if someone does that or runs afoul, again, that's my feeling about McDaniel. He's never wronged me personally or never wronged my team personally, but I got a category now, and that's where you are. I have that, put Johnson in that category. But then it happened to be to my team, and then it also happened to be the bunch of basketball guys or whatever the snide kind of comments were, the unprofessional behavior. Now we've got more examples of unprofessional behavior. I got him categorized. I feel like I got that, you know, he's got to dig his way out of that pit to be in my good graces. He'll be fine, by the way, the millionaire genius offensive mind. But yeah, this to me is a little bit shtick, obviously, where I'm like, I won't let it go. Like, I'll be able to sleep tonight, I promise you, regardless of how good Ben Johnson's offense is or isn't in Chicago. But I do find him off-putting, and I'm rooting against him. Pretty easy. I mean, that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, the basketball guys thing, just because you've mentioned it a few times, is not an actual quote from Ben Johnson. It's something that a reporter said that he had mentioned in passing. Whether that was something he actually said or not, don't know. It certainly was not something he said on the record publicly or off the record, and it went public. Not sure. So that has never really bothered me, because if we knew everything everyone ever said about any situation behind the scenes, you'd probably have some... you know, ill will towards some people. But I don't do the somebody said something in confidence that got out, and now I'm going to hate them for it. Just like if you release text messages that are private, I think it's the worst thing that you can do, and I kind of grade on a curve at that point. But I have no idea if he actually said the basketball guys thing or not. Josh is popping me. He just sent a picture of Ben Johnson in like a binky with a like a pacifier, and it says Ben Johnson in his infancy.
In his infancy.
He's a couple weeks into the head coaching gig. He's trying to turn an offense that hasn't had a 4,000-yard passer for 30 years around. But here's what's important. Let's prioritize. Let's get a win. That's number one. Does Washington need to get to 4-2, Danny? Let's get a win.
I think so.
Monday Night Football, victory. Number two, let's give up 350 yards in the process. That way...
you imagine the drama.
Darius can get ready to play the Ben Johnson alert sounder a few more times as the year goes on, because I would hate for him to not have something to do over there while we're talking about the Bears during our game recap.
Ben Johnson alert.
The Jacory Kroski Merritt alert is sounding somewhere. Bill, is that you? Bill, on the show, next, live on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.